Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's globally, Keith.
In the world, globally.
Anyway, on this planet.
Earth.
Anywhere.
Got it.
We've ever seen a sale.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, okay.
$10 billion.
Yeah?
It's a lot of PS5s.
That's so many. I couldn't even do the math on how many PS5s that is.
Can't convert.
Hour two, you're on Jones and Keefe. This is why the bots are going to take over.
They'll know.
Can't do that math, but they can do it.
Immediately.
2 seconds they can do that. We're going to talk to Rob Bradford coming up at 11:30, as we do each and every Thursday. He sat down with Craig Breslow yesterday, got his explanation on this whole AI firestorm with the Red Sox and their interviews. Some more on that from Bradfo, along with what's going on with the Red Sox moving forward. We'll also get to ESPN's quarter-century NFL team.
How about this?
A lot of Patriots represented on
there. The all-century team.
Did they get it right? We'll go on the clock at high noon. What the Red Sox should do now that they've traded away Rafael Devers. But Lakers sell yesterday. I'm shocked the Buss family moved the Lakers, to be honest.
I know. It's like their thing. Right. I watched season one of, what'd they call it? It wasn't
Winning time.
It wasn't called Showtime.
Sick brag.
Because I think they were like afraid to call it Showtime because there's another channel called Showtime. You know, they were the Showtime Lakers.
Did you like that show? Winning
time. It was fine.
I think Arcan legitimately like loved that show.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Jerry West, the late Jerry West, did not like the show.
Mm.
They made him out like an absolute a-hole. And so, again, they stand by everything. They're like, we did a lot of research on this show. But anyway, it's all about like Jerry Buss and sort of what the Lakers were and how he kind of took them from that into what they've become today. So it was like a very personal thing for him. Obviously not no longer with us as well. So you're like, now that the Lakers are being sold, 20 years ago, it never would have happened. 10 years ago, it never would have happened. But now here we are. I mean, for $10 billion, I guess it's kind of hard to say no to that.
Okay, so score one for the Lakers. You know, they may have fallen behind on the championship banner race, but $10 billion compared to $6 billion is a pretty big flex for L.A. Somewhere Irv is like, curled up in a ball. Pounded.
Yeah.
Very feebly
like, what
pounding
is this?
The desk. I mean, the man's he's an older man, but very, very feebly pounding the desk.
Big
where
sale.
The Lakers pretty much doubled them up.
Not even the biggest sale in the NBA in the last 6 months?
Seriously.
It's crazy.
And I do love this. Wick is going to stay on as the governor. Mark Cuban was going to. He already isn't. Stay on as the governor. Jeannie Buss is totally going to stay on as the governor.
Yeah, Cuban had a lot of say when they traded Luka Doncic away.
Like the ego on these billionaires to be like, oh, no, nothing's changing. We're just making a bunch of money, but I'm still in charge. Don't worry. So fraudulent. You're going to see it with the Lakers. You saw it with Cuban. If you have a brain, you know that's going on with Wick as well. But here's the question. Can the Celtics keep up in this NBA? Because I'd imagine Mark Walter, the individual, he already owned 20% of the Lakers. He now owns the full team, or, you know, the majority of the team. He owns the LA Dodgers. I think he owns the Sparks as well. It's unclear on if he owns the arena. I was surprised the Buses didn't own the arena.
I had no idea on that because, like, what, the Forum or whatever was, like, such a big
built the Forum, but I think
Staples?
When we were looking this up, they leased Staples / Crypto, I believe,
potentially
from this guy. I was trying to get more info on that. Terp was pointing us in that direction.
Yeah.
But this guy owns the Dodgers, and think about the way he runs the Dodgers. Taxes be damned. We don't care. We're pursuing championships. We're going to do whatever it takes to bring in talent. Spend. And we're going to continue to do that. And Major League Baseball and the NBA really aren't all that different when it comes to being willing to pay these luxury taxes and second apron. You've detailed before, Keith, if you want to keep your core together, these basketball penalties in the second apron are nothing.
You can. If you don't think you need to add to your team, like you're really not going to get penalized.
It comes back to a billionaire and their taxes is what it comes back to. And I imagine this guy's going to spend. And we've been saying the total opposite about the Celtics' new ownership group. Bill Chisholm, as somebody put it to me, had to find nickels under the couch cushions to go buy the Celtics. He was rounding up other rounds of investment late, trying to push this thing over the goal line. Mark Walters like, yeah, no, I'll buy him. No problem. $10 billion. Boom. So I imagine he's going to spend like crazy, maybe to keep LeBron, definitely for Doncic, and investing in the team. And when superstars come available, he's going to buy them up. That's how he runs the Dodgers. We're talking about the total opposite with the Celtics and Bill Chisholm. We're like, how are they going to nickel and dime and get under the second apron? And how far are they going to go? Is it just going to be a piece like Sam Hauser and maybe Jrue Holiday and Porzingis? Or are we talking Jaylen Brown? Are we talking Derek White? What are we talking?
Right.
I don't think they're going to be talking like that with the Lakers. And I wonder if the Celtics can keep up. That's what I wonder.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, because that was one of the reasons why when there was like the rumor about like Bezos, like could Bezos buy the team? And you're like, yeah, I kind of hope he does, because like literally money doesn't matter. Right. Like, give me the best team. I want, it's fun. Let me own this team.
But this guy, isn't this guy even better than Bezos, because he's got a track record with a professional sports team in that city?
Yeah. I was referring more to like Chisholm and being like a Chisholm. Once they got Chisholm, you're like, all right, I don't really know how this is going to go.
No, but I'm sorry. I understood the point. Just I wanted a deep-pocketed owner, but even Bezos, I had some questions. Like, how's he going to run professional sports franchise?
No,
this
true.
Guy, you have a track record in that, a very recent track record in that city. And so, no, but I definitely wanted.
This guy owns an F1 team. He owns, like you said, the Dodgers and the Sparks. He owns the Professional Women's Hockey League. I guess he owns the whole league.
The
PWHL, that's what it says.
He owns the fleet.
He owns
all of them.
He owns them all. He owns part of Chelsea, I think, in the Premier League. Yeah. So he's got his hands in a few pies.
Look,
he's
well off.
He
as,
is,
as they say.
65 years young and just kind of owns all of sports.
So do you think...
Do
you think the Celtics can keep up with guys like this?
I mean, I don't.
The way and the Mavs sold off Luka Doncic, ironically.
No,
but, like, you know, you're talking about real deep-pocketed owners in Dallas.
I don't.
And you're talking
and
about this,
this
guy now. Like,
I never kind of did, because even prior to this guy stepping in and buying the Lakers and for what he's buying it for... It's just there were so many messages right off the rip. All the interviews that Wick Rosbeck has done, like going back to his time when he joined Greg's show and was talking about no team will ever be in the second apron 2 years in a row. And like
the Lakers might be.
They might.
Yeah.
If LeBron tells them to, they probably will be. If LeBron stays, first of all, and then if they add guys to LeBron and Luka, then yeah, they very well could. But there's already been so much smoke around the whole situation this offseason that it's like, the Celtics are obviously going to strip down parts from their team. And if they don't, that would be the big surprise. If they kept everybody and let Tatum, you know, nurse his injury and kept the guys who are under contract, who are everybody with the exception of Horford and Cornette, if they just brought everybody back, we'd be surprised. Like now we're anticipating them. Like the whole offseason is going to be about shedding salary. So they've already put that out there. So no, I don't think they're going to try to. Yeah, I'm not saying that all of a sudden they're going to be at the bottom of the league in spending,
no.
like anything like that, anything drastic.
And look,
but
if you want to be positive, it's not like the Grosbecks were the wealthiest owners in the league before, and they just had a very successful 20-year run with multiple championships in there. So it's not like you've had the deepest pocketed owners. Bill Chisholm definitely has more money than Wick and Irv. And so, maybe you did get deeper pockets. I don't think you're going to be able to keep up with the Lakers. And, oh, by the way, I think that thing Wick said, and he said it to Greg Hill, no team's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years in a row, which was a sign for what the Celtics were about to do, we think, this offseason, number one.
We'll see.
And number two, let's see if that's how the Lakers do it. Let's see if that was nonsense and Wick was right, or if the Lakers immediately blow it right out of the water with their new owner. Because, again, if this guy runs it anywhere near the way he's running the Dodgers, they're not going to give two craps about the second apron and their bottom line. They're going to chase star talent and championships. That's what they're going to do.
You know, under contract right now, the Celtics, it's way more, obviously, right? For next year, they're at the top of the league, $223 million committed as of right now. The Lakers is $189. So they are under that, whatever that number is.
Yeah, right now.
But they need to add to that team. I mean, they have LeBron and Luka and not really
a whole lot
else.
Get ready for them to add Durant, Giannis. Like, I'd put him right in the Giannis mix now that this guy's there.
Yeah, Durant, Giannis, good ones. Both,
you know,
Booker.
Like,
I mean, I think LeBron likes all those guys. I could see that happening. Oh, by the way, I got some intel here. Mark Walter.
Yeah.
He does, in fact, own all of the Professional Women's Hockey League. And at the end of it, they give out the Walter Cup named after him.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
Move over, Lord Stanley. The Lord Walter Cup.
Lord Stanley's like, I didn't own yeah. multiple professional sports franchises for billions and billions of dollars.
You know who gave me that intel?
No.
Scheim. Scheim was on it.
Scheim good
was on
one,
that.
Scheim.
Yeah, good pull.
Was this his lead this morning? I don't know.
I don't think
I'm
it was
not,
his
I'm
lead.
I'm not typically up. Yeah. No offense. I'm not yeah, yeah. typically up at, you know, 6 in the morning. But, yeah. okay, good. Wow, good intel from
yeah,
Scheim.
Not bad. The Walter Cup. So, all right. Is that a little look at me? Maybe. Some would suggest it is a little look at
well,
me.
Well, now that we're talking this out.
So you don't think he's going to be one? That strikes me as the guy that's going to be want to host the Larry O'Brien and then eventually change the name of it. Let's call this the Walter Trophy.
Should we start handing out the Jones and Keefe Haas of the Week? Like, should we jam our names on Haas of the Week?
The Jones and Keefe Haas of the Week.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I think let's steal a page.
We haven't had
Mark
one
Walter's
in
playbook.
A couple weeks, have we?
No, we got a suggestion yesterday that maybe Brad Stevens should be
no.
the Jones and Keefe Haas of the Week since he's basically Will Campbell's size.
He looked similar size to Will Campbell in that photo. But no, I would think that's just more of a bad sign that Campbell's – we have to take away the Haas of the Week that he won
oh,
before.
Oh, Campbell's
– retroactively taking it
it's
away.
It's like a Heisman.
Yeah. We're when he was the fourth away. Pick in the draft, I think we gave him Haas of the Week, but we might have to remove it.
We might have yeah. to, yeah, cross that off the list. Okay, fair enough. So can the Celtics keep up? With teams like the Lakers now going forward in the NBA, Celtics are ready to peel off salary. I would tell you to get ready for the Lakers adding a crap load of it if it's anything like how this guy runs the Dodgers. 617-779-7937. I have a secondary question off of this as well as it relates to the Red Sox. $10 billion, Keith, the most globally ever on this planet.
Earth
that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, does John Henry have a number for the Red Sox and – would he consider something like that? I mean, this was out of no reporting on this, completely out of left field. Like, where did this
so
even come from?
I think
over $1.2 trillion.
I kind of feel like no, honestly.
Really?
So, Ginny Buss, who's like the owner of the Lakers, like, what other teams does she own? No other teams, right? Like, Jerry Buss owned the Lakers. That was his life. He was committed to the Lakers. That's what they did. Mark Walter, John Henry's more like Mark Walter than he is like Ginny Buss. You know, Henry has a hockey team. He was involved in
yeah,
his NASCAR,
he's got
golf,
a
soccer.
Portfolio of sports teams.
Because it
true.
Feels like obviously a ton of money. That'd be great. Like you're in the business to make money and all that stuff. So you never say never. But I feel like just the way John Henry and Fenway Sports Group, for God's sakes, that's what they call it. What if they sold the Red Sox? I feel like they'd be in on another baseball team. Like I feel like he wants to own a lot of teams and a lot of leagues. I think he's more likely to buy a basketball team than he is to sell the Red Sox.
Okay. Is a way to buy a basketball team selling the Red Sox. Like look
yeah,
at,
but then I think he'd be like, man, I kind of want a baseball team.
It turns out you might need
$10
million to buy an NBA team. And like the Lakers are on the high end.
But let's
say you need now more than $6 billion. Did I say million?
Yeah.
More than $6 billion to buy a team. No one's I don't know if the next sale is going to be more than the Lakers. I doubt it. But it's going to be more than the Celtics for sure.
I also don't know if buying a basketball team is really all that smart of an investment, to be honest.
It's a better investment than a baseball team.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, you're not buying it. When they bought
correct.
Probably was a good time to buy in for the Red
so
Sox.
So pretty soon, you're going to be paying all your players $80 million a year, and you're like you already had to buy in at this insane rate. Like, at what point do you kind of get all your money back and then start making a lot of money? I don't know. Like, I just... Doesn't it also strike you that the Grosbecks and the Cubans and the buses are all like, yeah, we're done? I don't know. That'd be a red flag to me. Now, if you're like Bezos or this Walter guy, maybe you're not. And maybe even Henry,
I mean, the
I guess.
Flip side of that, though, is they're selling for $5, $6, and $10 billion.
But so when will they sell for $20 billion? Because, like, you know
and
what I'm saying? Like,
but I would lump Henry in with somebody like Cuban where he's like, well, I bought in at this price and now I'm getting X.
Yeah.
Like, I should go. That's a good investment. I've made my money back. 100x.
But Cuban's also, like, I know he's involved in Shark Tank, and I'm sure he's involved in, like, 1,000 businesses, but he's not, like, piling up all the
sports franchises
teams
no,
that he has.
No, that's
like,
true.
Like, that's pretty, you know, Henry Walter. There's a few other guys that do that, too, that own multiple teams. Magic Johnson, for God's sakes. Magic Johnson's owning multiple teams. But, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like such a huge number. And these guys that seemed like they loved it, and they were like, Cuban stands out even more so than the other ones. Like, loved it. It was his life. He's front row at every game. And then he's like, yeah, I'm getting out of this.
Yelling at the officials.
No, yeah, he's nuts. He, like, thought he was on the team. And then he's like, now he's like, I'll sell it. So that would have been, like, a big, like, red flag to me if I was Bill Chisholm or somebody else and be like, all right, why is Cuban getting out of the NBA right now?
This is a good point in the Twitch chat by our guy Monty Mac. They own the whole neighborhood just about. They're not selling. So they probably wouldn't sell until Fenway Corners is done. I do agree with that. Like, you want to see
What
you want to
see
Fenway Corners through. You want to build up that whole area. But, like, at some point in time, is Henry going to look at it and go, and I don't know what you can realistically get for the Red Sox. I don't know what their valuation is off the top of my head. But, you know, let's say you can get whatever your number. I guarantee the guy's got a number. He's a numbers guy. I guarantee he's got a number. And at some point, if you get it, just like the buses got theirs, just like the Grosbecks got theirs, and maybe there was more, you know, life circumstances coming into that one, just like Cuban got his. If you get your number, you got to think about selling, right? And where these prices are going, I wouldn't rule out that Fenway Sports Group wouldn't take that money and then turn around and invest it somewhere else. Weren't they just linked the other day to buying a team in La Liga? Like the top of the Spanish soccer table?
I believe
table?
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't see the Red Sox on this list. I'm looking at like...
For a value, like a Forbes valuation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to throw the number out of the top of my head because I don't want to be wildly off, but what are they valued at? Like $5
billion? Yeah, 4.5 according to last year.
Okay.
In the same list, though, it says the Lakers are 7.7. So, like...
Yeah, so you're going to get more. Yeah, you're going to get more than that valuation, and the Red Sox should get even more than that.
Yeah.
They own Nesson. They own, I mean, they could spin off a bunch of things if they wanted to, but they own Nesson. They own, as the Twitch chat pointed out, a bunch of real estate in and around the area. So it's
the Boston Globe.
It's not just the ball club.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of other things that come along with the ball club as well. So they're going to get a lot more than the $4.5 billion would be my point.
And you get all the AI bots that do the interviews. You get all those included.
Well, no, maybe.
It's good value.
Maybe Henry wants to keep that.
Keep a couple.
Cut that out of the sale. And that'll
no deal unless we get one of those.
That'll knock down the return just a little bit. Okay, you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. We spent much of the first hour on the Red Sox, going back through Craig Breslow and his track record to this point. I think people have it wrong when they say he's Chaim Bloom, and I actually think he's hit on quite a few more deals than you realize, especially this year. Like, I like almost every deal he made this offseason, up to and including the Rafael Devers trade.
Harrison Hicks. They both suck.
I don't love the return, but I do.
The return's been poor.
I like Devers off the team. I do. And, oh, by the way, Giants still haven't won with Devers, and the Red Sox just took a series and moved back into playoff position without Rafi Devers.
Although it's heating up, this weekend series is going to be a lot of fun. I
would say it's fair to put a little more weight on the head-to-head series than the first series leading into it.
It would also be great if it wasn't at 10:15 local here.
At least it's a Friday.
Well, it might be good for the Red Sox, depending on how it goes. They might be very happy.
If Devers is smash dingers.
Yeah.
I feel like I should do Devers dinger for the pick of the week, but
that's a good call.
I need something else. Do I do Devers dinger and Giants win, or do I do two Devers dingers? And then that way the Red Sox can still win.
I don't
know. I got to double check.
He's
going to
hit two?
I mean, he
might. That ballpark?
Yeah, probably not.
That thick soupy air? I don't think so.
That could help, no?
No.
You don't think a soupy hoop?
You think it helps a home run?
Soupy air?
No, I don't. I mean, not to tell you what to do. You've been on a heater over there.
I
shouldn't question the delicate genius. But Giants win and a Devers home run feels about right.
All right.
I don't know if it gets you to your threshold.
I got to double check. I'll circle back. That could be tomorrow's pick of the week. Okay. So stay tuned on that.
Ooh, this is a good point. When you buy the Red Sox, you also get the Nesson 360 app on top of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that definitely works. People never complain about
that's
it.
That's raking in dollars.
Can't wait to get rid of that thing.
617-779-7937. Discussing the Lakers sale. Can the Celtics keep up with their new ownership group with teams like the Lakers, especially if LA is going to run it the way that Mark Walter is running the Dodgers, and with John Henry? Consider selling in this new climate. Plus, Rob Bradford joins us every Thursday at 11:30. You can check him out. Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app and on WEEI. We'll check in with Bradfo right after Trent.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing with Billy Lane. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We're taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A lot of discussion today and all week long about the Rafael Devers trade. People scratching their heads about it, to be sure. We'll get to more on this with Rob Bradford. He joins us every Thursday here on Jones and Keith. He's brought to you by McFarlane Energy. Bradfo, how are we doing this week from the West Coast?
Anything happen? Anything happen?
It's been really busy. Yes. It's been a busy time out there. There's no doubt about that.
It's not boring. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I mean, the minute that Father's Day thing happened, it's been chaotic for the last whatever amount of days. And that includes a cross-country flight. That includes being around the team for the last couple of days to get that vibe, which is something that I ought to be perfectly honest with you, did not expect. There's a lot to pick through, so let's pick through it. Let's go.
Okay, well, let's pick away. And again, Rob Bradford brought to you by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com. All right, you talked to Breslow yesterday. Let's start with that and work our way back. Well, you talked to Breslow yesterday defending the interview tactics, the interview practices of the Red Sox, your two-minute grill. What'd you learn from talking to Craig Breslow about how the Red Sox interview some of these candidates very interpersonally?
I didn't need to talk to Breslow to realize that was one of the stupidest part of this whole deal. Honestly, like, this is where we landed when we're picking through what that was, and Breslow sort of pointed that out. And to, you know, let's start this off. It's like both sides are to blame. There's a lot to pick through. The Red Sox are to blame. We're getting to Devers about, you know, his shock and all the last couple of days. But the whole AI interview was the dumbest thing, because I think people were so desperate to find the avenue to pin this on the Red Sox for being so impersonal and everything. What this is, and I knew it exactly when it happened even before Breslow talked, when you're interviewing people, when you're interviewing these lowest level people or whatever it is, not the assistant GMs, not the meat and potatoes, the front office or the baseball operations, you're going to do this. This happens. Absolutely. So what frustrated me about it is that this is where we landed with this conversation. We're picking apart how the Red Sox use Zoom calls to interview low-level people, which it is. I mean, this is, I asked around. I said, hey, assistant GM, or hey, baseball operations person who was hired, did you go through this? Like, no. So this is what we're doing. We're picking this apart to advance the Rafael Devers conversation. So if you're going to ask me whether Breslow just backed it up, but like, I knew it before that. That was the dumbest part of this. And it had got to the point where, again, this is such a complicated trade with so many different pieces of it. That was a dumb piece.
All right, so one of the other big pieces of it was whether or not the Red Sox or the team taking Devers needed to take his entire contract. And speaking of Zooms, when there was the Zoom between Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow, they kept saying that it wasn't a mandate, even though the Giants were saying, yeah, they needed to take the whole salary.
The Giants owner.
The Giants owner said they needed to take on the whole salary. So how do you make heads or tails of that one?
Yeah, I think that what the Red Sox did is, and you know, look, I'm leaving Seattle right now. Seattle Mariners, everyone here would be like, hey, yeah, that was a perfect fit. Why didn't we get Rafael Devers? I think that it wasn't a mandate. It was probably a priority to find the team, to identify the team, the ownership group that was going to take on that amount of money, and then take on that amount of money and then pick through what you can get in return. I mean, sometimes you take that amount of money and you get, you know, scraps in return. Remember, I mean, go back to when the Red Sox could have traded Chris Sale, who was on the IL a couple of years ago. You know, the Texas Rangers were ready to take on the whole amount of money, but give basically nothing in return, hardly anything, and the Red Sox wanted more, and they didn't get the deal done. So I think the Red Sox just sort of hit the sweet spot in their eyes when it came to the Giants. But to answer your question, yeah, it might not have been a mandate, but I think it was probably a priority.
So you, I'm listening to you now. You like the return? I've been the highest person that I've heard.
No. I'm not saying, listen, I mean, this guy gets this twisted, is that, as I wrote immediately after, everybody should be mad about this. Fans should be mad about fans should be mad at the Red Sox for letting it get to this point.
But if they're hitting the sweet spot on getting rid of the whole salary and what they're getting back, that would imply
in their eyes, they were hitting the sweet spot. In their eyes, they were hitting the sweet. In their eyes, they were saying, we're getting a team to pay down on the entire contract, and we're getting back these players who we think, who we like, who we think can contribute, and we can. And I'm not saying that, hey, listen, you trade Rafael Devers, I think you're going to get more than Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and a couple of minor leaguers. Like, that's just how I feel. But in their eyes, they said, if we can get a team to pay down the whole contract and get back pieces that we like, then you asked me, like, what was their priority? Their priority was probably to find the team that was going to pay the most money and give them the most, the best players in their eyes, why paying that most money. So I don't know, you know, it's not me. It's how they view it.
But, like, could they have gotten more either from the Giants or from somebody else? It seems like the timing of this, the trade deadline's not for another month and a half. There couldn't have been another team out there that would have been willing to give you more in return than what they got?
So that comes back to when, you know, was this a mandate to pay down on the whole contract? No. But was it a priority? Yeah. So if they're making that a priority with the money, then they say, well, what's the best deal we can get? In their eyes, that was the best deal they could get. Now, it's a good question about the timing of it, because I've heard a lot of people say that. Why don't you wait to the trade deadline? Why don't you wait to the trade deadline? I will say this, guys. Being around the team, being dropped into that clubhouse the day after, one element of this, and somebody said to me, I said, this is a complex trade. There are so many things. There's so many aspects of it. And they said, really? Is it that complex? You had a guy who was impacting the culture of a team who was basically who's trying to win games. And like, and that's my takeaway from being around the team the last couple of days. You heard it after. Like, I think Rafael Devers is a good guy. I think Rafael Devers is a really good player and has been a good teammate up until this year. But the reaction from the players, from the team, and then you double down on it with basically you're in the wheelchair and then all of a sudden you get to San Francisco and you spring out of the wheelchair and start doing a 4-4-40. I mean, like, but that was sort of the mic. That was the example of what we're talking about. So you asked about timing. Right or wrong, I think that the impetus for this trade was because of that, because they said it just had gotten to the point where we think in order to move forward, to be a better team, having this cloud over our head is not worth it.
So is Rafael Devers, basically what's owed to him now is essentially what, 9.5 years?
Yeah, close 230, to two, I think 230, yeah.
230. Is that looked at as a really bad contract? Because if nobody would eat that contract, and it's looked like that's a negative, like, oh, get him to pay the contract. So, like, if he was a free agent, what kind of deal would he have gotten? Because you also hear from so many people about what a generational bat he is and how great of a player right. He is. But it's also he has a bad contract where he's making actually less than $30 million a year.
I mean, I would say this is that, I don't, you know, the Red Sox might not necessarily view it as a bad contract. They viewed it as a bad player who was fitting into the team and under that contract. The Giants clearly viewed it as a good contract. If I was another team, like I said, like Seattle or someone else, I would view it as a good contract. It's fine. I mean, it's a, like you said.
No, but my point would be, Rob, my point would be if it's a good contract, then, like, you get more than Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks for it. I'm with you. I get why the Red Sox traded him. Me and Jones are actually two of the few that are like, see you later, no, Devers. Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, Rob, I think we actually agree with what
we're
you just said.
We're good with Devers being
which
gone.
Is Devers was the main priority even ahead of the
but
salary.
But it seems like if it was such a sticking point around the league, you're like, so you wouldn't pay $28.5 million a year for a guy that hits 30 bombs?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I can't speak to the other teams. Okay. If I was another team, I would do it. Like, I would do that. I mean, I've been on San Francisco radio and stuff, and I've said, listen, you guys, can you imagine getting this guy at the trade deadline? Never mind getting this guy in the middle of June. And by the way, he did spring out of the wheelchair, and he is working out at first base, and he is, you know, the best case scenario of Rafael Devers, which is everybody was waiting for. So I think it's I don't disagree with you, but I come back to the Red Sox impetus for this, and I'll say it again, like, they are absolutely to blame, and we've litigated that up and down about the communication and how they got to this point and how what a travesty both sides let it get to this point, because you do have another player in his prime who's going to probably be in the Hall of Fame. That's the frustrating part of it.
No way he's not a Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame? No way in
hell.
Giants Hall of Fame? Not my Hall. We're small
Hall
guys.
Yeah, you got to get a top 10 MVP season in your first.
Maybe on your ballot.
10 years. I don't know.
No chance.
Who knows?
No chance. I think he's getting better.
I'm curious, Brad Foe, about, and you said the AI story is overblown and it's nonsense. It's all coming from somewhere. Like, all of a sudden, like, this full court press is coming from somewhere. Not that I'm asking you where it's coming from, but what does it say that all this stuff is boiling over right after this trade, the view of Craig Breslow? What are all these various leaks
say? Let's be honest. Are we talking about the June Lee story?
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, you take the June Lee story.
Buster Olney had some of the same stuff. Buster Olney had a lot of the same stuff.
The narrative, so when we were, I'll go to the Buster thing first. And, you know, Buster is obviously tuned in. I actually talked to Buster a lot, and I sort of know where he's coming from and a lot of what he's hearing. And when the Devers stuff is going on, everybody is like, what is happening in Boston? Like, what is going on? And that's the thing, like, I think that Buster was confused about, and that's what he wrote about. And a lot of this stuff, you know, where people point out where it comes to the front office and how they do things and the uncomfortable way of how things are when it comes to communications, which is a big part of this, like, that was all part of the story leading up to the Rafael Devers trade. There is no question about it. I mean, that was murmuring throughout baseball. I mean, they had turned it over. They had vetted the organization and all of this stuff. That was part of it. And then you pile on what is happening with Rafael Devers because no one could figure it out all the way up until he was traded, then, yeah, of course it's going to be the part of the conversation. But, you know, again, to go back to the AI interview thing, it's like, okay, I get we can have this conversation about how they're doing things and how different it is, but when we're using examples like that, to me that's just dumb. Like, that's just like – that's like saying, like, the lowest level people who, you know, they get 500,000 applicants for and they're vetting through a couple Zoom calls. Like, okay, if people want to jump on that, that's fine because that's what everybody's doing. But I think the more important thing here is to look at the organization, where they screwed up when it comes to the communication. That was the biggest thing. And I'll say this too, in the last couple of days, what nobody really has talked about, which I pointed out, which is, you know, Craig Breslow, I think, is learning a lot from this too, because the fact is that he went to each of these players instead of just doing this broad, hey, everybody, let's get our act together. I thought it was smart by him to go to each player. Hey, you got any questions? And I saw him do it. I saw him pull players aside. You got any questions? Because if you have any questions, just you and me, let's talk about it. Then he should get credit for that. But what the organization shouldn't get credit for is the lack of communication before.
How bad of a look is this for Alex Cora, who is known as a player's manager, but ultimately they have to trade their best hitter because he couldn't figure out how to get him happy?
Yeah, well, I don't think, you know, I think that the mistake they made was the whole plan trying to play both sides of the fence thing. And, you know, the reports coming out about how that Alex Cora, you know, they use Alex Cora as the guy to talk to the Rafi whisperer why, you know, Breslow was going to be the bad cop and everything else. But I think for Alex Cora, you know, I think he is a good communicator with the players. But the problem is, I mean, he hit a wall with this guy. I mean, this is go back to gassing up the plane with John Henry. You know, they can say that was productive, but nothing came of it. Nothing. And then it just kept going and going and going. And I think even from Alex Cora's point of view, like, it was, all right, you know, there's nothing else he could do. There's nothing else he's going to do. And, you know, I look at it this way. Remember back when Manny was traded, Alex Cora was part of that team. When Manny was traded for Jason Bay in that three-way deal, Terry Francona was like a different person, the day after. And I think that Alex Cora, there's going to be an element of that. Like, yeah, I mean, everybody, there's the blame to go around all over the place, especially when it comes to the Red Sox and communication. But I do think that the vibe about the communication going forward might be a little bit different going forward.
How would you describe the Red Sox current players' reaction to the Devers trade?
Before I answer, were you guys surprised by it?
Surprised by the trade?
I was surprised by the timing.
No.
Surprised by their reaction.
You know, we run around, we get the reaction on Monday.
Oh, no. Yeah. I kind of thought that's what it would be.
Yeah, it was. I can tell you this. You couldn't tell a difference. You could not tell a difference. And I know that, you know, then Duran had the sort of 1 of 26 and it's a little thing. But you couldn't tell a difference. And, you know, then you hear the comments after that game, after that first game, after they win, oh, there was great energy in here. There was everything else. I don't think it was to this extreme, and this isn't apples to apples, But I do remember when A.J. Pierzynski was let go in early July 2014. And like, okay, everyone's like, oh, yeah. Well, they blew somebody out and everyone's feeling great. That's all well and good. But to answer your question, they're gonna like hug Rafi Devers in San Francisco. Everything will be fine. But guys, like the fact of the matter is, even that Monday, after that Monday, when Rafael Devers has his press conference and the Ghost takes out grounders at first base, that is, if you are a player on that team and you don't take offense to that, then I don't know what you're thinking. Because basically, he just pushed it back in your face of this thing that he refused to do to help the team. Oh, I'm on this team now. Now I'm going to help them. Like, if you're a player in the Red Sox, I already think that on Monday that showed the sort of like whatever attitude. But to me, it has gone to the next level of that because of Rafael Devers has agreed to do for his new team.
Okay. Brad Fogg, great stuff as always. He joins us every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check him out all over WEEI and, of course, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast on the Odyssey app as well. Brad Fogg, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Excellent job. I'll talk to you later. See you.
All right. Thank you. Bradford joining us here. Jones and Keefe, we're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I want to react to some of that on the other side from Brad Fogg. First of all, it doesn't sound like he and June Lee are going to be swapping Christmas cards anytime soon. Second of all, Alex Cora and the entire team, not just the players, Alex Cora and the team sound pretty happy that Rafael Devers is gone. We can react to that with all your phone calls coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bradfo fired up.
Madfo's been fired up pretty much the last month or so. This season has gotten Red Sox people all hot and bothered.
We got a little Madfo and a little Bragfo.
We did get a lot of Bragford.
A lot of Bragford.
People were calling it out on the Twitch and on the text. Yeah.
So there was that. But no, he's fired up. Look, I get his point about the AI. If they're just conducting low-level interviews over AI, although they're doing 5 rounds of it, I question how low level these actually are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad look. I'll defend Breslow on some of the baseball moves. I'm not defending him on this.
No, I think it's pretty lame, but I also am like, all right, we do have bigger fish to fry. Well, they just got a terrible trade return for Rafael Devers. Let's maybe focus on that.
But they all go back to the same thing,
yeah,
to me,
fine.
Where it's like people under their breath are calling him an effing stiff. And this AI stuff is leaking out. And oh, by the way, like it's not a good return on Rafi Devers. Even both you and I, who wanted him gone, will acknowledge that. And it's like,
would you be more offended if I called you a stiff or like a clown?
Ooh.
I think a stiff. A clown is at least a comedic effect.
I think
there
we
to
throw
a clown.
Around clown more often.
Yeah.
So I think stiff is a little more.
It would jar
disarm
me.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, you're a stiff. Like of all things, you're like, damn.
You cut deep.
You're a stiff.
So
you're an effing stiff.
Yeah, I think that
is,
would that would cut worse.
I was trying to think of like radio friendly insults.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's a clown. This guy's a joke. This guy's a bum.
Yeah. Well, I like
this
bum.
Guy's a stiff though.
Stiff. We got to mix that in more.
That is really cuts right to like your lack of personality.
Stiff of the week.
Stiff of the week.
Brought to you by New England Men's Health.
They can help you out with that.
All right, we're spitballing.
They can help you out with that.
We're just working on stuff over
that's
here.
That's true. Let's go.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Stiff of the week.
But no, but the
I get your
the
point,
issue,
though. It
the
is sort
issue
of like
is, well, it's just,
the whole
all,
thing.
It's all going to stick to Breslow.
Yeah.
So that's the real problem. Like, now Breslow's the guy who does interviews with AI. And Bradford can call it not a big deal, but, like, PR-wise, that it's now his thing. And he's also the guy who, again, gets undermined on Zoom calls. And that's going to, no matter what the reality is in there, that's now the perception of him. And if they win a World Series or he makes a bunch of good moves and they're a competitive team, it'll all blow over.
Yeah.
But right now, that's the perception of Breslow, and that's the problem. And this is what I was trying to ask him. It's like, all right, you think it's dumb, and you think it's a non-story. It's coming from somewhere. What does it tell you that people in the organization, I think, and I have my theories on who it is, but people in the organization are leaking this and letting it be known. It's like, they're doing that for a reason. All this stuff isn't coming out of nowhere for no reason.
Well, everybody is, I think, probably annoyed about how things are going on. Then you have like the higher level guys, and Cora's being criticized, Breslow's being criticized. They clearly aren't in lockstep with everything. So then it's like, well, I don't want to get blamed for this, so let's point out the fact that this guy isn't, you know, holding up his end of the bargain. Plus, you have guys that maybe worked for Breslow. Or like, you know, if you look at the staff right now, I'm sure they're clearing house with some of the guys that are there before. But then in there, like, you'd be like, do I agree with Breslow on this, or do I agree with Cora on this? Or then, like, you're all kind of lumped together on it. And so, yeah, the whole idea of that story that everyone now is getting offended by is just that there's, like, a lot of dysfunction. Like, that's
well, 1,000%.
Really the key thing.
It's dysfunctional, but understand the fault lines. Like, the fault lines are, I mean, number one, Henry, you know, just cares about the bottom line and is detached from the team. But the fault between the manager and the GM, they're significant. And, you know, like, for instance, I hear Curtis quite a bit driving in, talking about Ortiz this morning, right, as an example. And it's like, oh, well, Ortiz is just stabbing Devers in the back now. The trade went down. And that feels backstabby. We said the other day, like, you want to talk about a hit piece, that feels like the closest thing to a hit piece against Devers that we've had, is Ortiz coming out and being like, the guy doesn't text me, he's a bad communicator.
Right. You take the one guy that is unanimously loved by the fan base and be like, yeah, this guy didn't even return my calls.
So I acknowledge that, but just understand, there's a lot of, you know, hit pieces, I think, that are being put out on Breslow. Now, again, it doesn't make it untrue. I bet Devers doesn't text Ortiz. The timing of it coming out to me lets you know that it's a little suspect. And I would say the same thing. Yeah, he probably fired this guy for calling him an effing stiff. Yeah, he probably does conduct interviews over AI. But the timing to me is significant on that. And I would just point out that's going both ways. That's not just the Red Sox putting out hit pieces and backstabbing people. It's going the other way towards the GM as well. Because and I wonder who it might be, has a problem with another GM.
Yeah, there's a track record there.
It feels like there's a track record there.
Well, it's like the guys that he has worked for who didn't hire him, right? Like, I think you're always going to have that. And not that you want your GM and your manager to have the exact same thought every single step of the way, but very clearly, Chaim Bloom inherited Cora. Craig Breslow inherited Cora. Those guys kind of view everything a little bit differently. This one maybe even more so, right? Because I think Breslow, as much as we clown him as being like a nerd, like, he also is a former player too. And I don't know, maybe some of his stuff that he's trying to bring to the team is even more extreme than what Bloom was bringing to the team. They might have didn't see eye to eye on certain things, on like what players to bring in or out. Breslow's also been like, this is how we're going to handle the pitching staff. This is how we're going to handle the hitters.
Well, and I think Breslow is he's not Dombrowski. He's not Epstein. He's not the best GM they ever had.
No.
I think he's way better than Bloom.
Yeah.
And we can go back through his track record. We did that earlier in the show. Like, what has he actually done from a baseball transaction standpoint? Because I don't like people undermining him, and I don't like the AI interviews, but I like a lot of the baseball transactions, and that includes trading Devers. I like a lot of those moves.
Yeah, this is a huge deadline for him, because I think if you're really being fair and you look at all the moves, which we did, like, there are, you know, slightly more hits than misses, but last year it was almost all misses at the deadline.
No. The deadline last year was all misses.
And I feel like this team, and maybe more so because of the state of the American League, is going to be in it at the deadline once again. So it's going to be deja vu for the fifth straight year where they're in it at the deadline. And do they actually add to the team or do they not? Last year they didn't. And then obviously we know what happened in the second half.
So let's get back into Breslow's track record with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We're also approaching high noon on a Thursday, which means it's time to go on the clock.
All right.
What do the Red Sox do now that they've traded Rafael Devers? We'll do that in just 60 seconds. Coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.